Hello, guys. Welcome to the Mission Podcast. We are a spirit-filled, multicultural church led by Pastor Carl Thomas, right in Delray Beach, Florida. To find out more information, just go to themissiondelray.com.
Amen. If you got a Bible, go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 6. It's going to be a second before I get there. So we are in our awakening series, our series on prayer and fasting and devotion and worship. And next week, you do not want to miss it. Next week, right, Camille? Camille Barbosa? Yeah, it's next week, right? Next week, we are going to have a worship service. We're going to talk a little bit about worship, but then we're going to actually going to do worship more than we talk about it. Is that good? In the church, we do too much talking about stuff that we don't actually do. When I look at this Bible and I read it, I say, I believe this Bible is real. Yes, you believe this is truth. You believe this is the Word of God, that there's nothing a lie in this Word. And so when I look at this Word and I say, how come I don't see that in my life? I say, well, something's got to line up. And the place we're supposed to learn about those things is church. This is why we come together, so we can be equipped to minister to the world. We don't come so one person can minister. We come so you can be equipped to minister. And so what I have found is I've never seen a trade school where they teach you about plumbing but never actually let you put a pipe together. Right? I mean, you can imagine going to auto body school and never actually fixing a car? Oh, they're training me up. Really? But then how come you haven't actually fixed a car yet? And so there's, you know, too much in the church today of us talking about stuff and not actually doing the stuff. Okay, I hear someone over here. She's amen. I mean, we're not doing enough of the stuff. We're just talking about it. Amen. Amen. And so we should expect in church to learn how to do the stuff that Jesus did. I don't want to learn about the stuff that Jesus did. I can learn that on my own. I got a Bible. I can read. I'm literate. You know, there's my own concordances and systematic theology book. I got all kind of books. I don't need to learn about the Bible. I need to be able to do what the Bible did. You know what I'm saying? This should lead me into greater faith. I don't need to learn about greater faith. I need to walk in greater faith. Amen? I don't need to learn about freedom. I want to walk in freedom. Oh, Grandpa, you're dying of cancer. Let me tell you how they used to heal people 2,000 years ago. This would make you so happy. I don't want to die happy. You know, I want to die when my life is done. And he's promised me a lot of years. And I don't want sickness. I don't want the devil to steal years. And so we're gonna worship. Next week we're gonna talk a little and we're gonna worship a lot. And a spirit of worship is gonna be in the room. And we're gonna have some freedom. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So we're gonna talk today about prayer. We talked our first week about devotion, and we talked about first week fasting. I don't know what we did. Started with fasting, moved on to devotion. Talked about devotion last week, and this week we're talking about prayer. Next week it's going to be worship. And prayer, I don't know how prayer got perverted so often. I don't understand how people. If prayer seems like labor, you're doing it wrong. If it seems like a burden, if it seems like a hassle, if it feels like an obligation, you're doing it wrong. If going out on a date with your spouse is not something you look forward to, it's time to fix the marriage. The problem is not the date. The problem is the marriage. And when we go, you know, oh, hey, honey, I won tickets, and we have this night out at the hotel, and there's a free meal, and you're like, oh, man, 2 days? It ain't the hotel. You know what I'm saying? And so if prayer is not something you're excited about and you want to grow in, maybe we can help kind of shift the focus today. Prayer, if we were just to condense it at its most condensed understanding, prayer is personal communication with God. Prayer is personal communication with God. And on that note, let's go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 6. And in Matthew chapter 6, we see Jesus talking about prayer a little bit. How many of y'all know Jesus knew how to pray? Jesus knew how to pray effectively. Jesus got results with his prayer. Amen? If I was the disciples, first thing I'd say, teach me how to pray, Lord. What in the world? All right, we're going to go to chapter 6, verse 5 is where we're going to start. And let me tell you, in this, there's a grace on this series that I was not even expecting. And for those of you who have been fasting, don't give up. Those of you who have kind of stumbled in your fasting, don't give up. Get back on the train and just start counting days. Amen? We got a week. Let's finish strong. We're gonna have communion next week with it. We're going to break our fast together with communion, and it's going to be a glorious time. But there's a grace on this fast, and when I started talking about devotion, there's a grace on that, and there's going to be a real grace on prayer in your life after I preach this message. The Holy Spirit is going to ignite something in you, and it's going to draw you closer to God, and your prayer closet is going to be, it's going to be more, the presence will be more tangible. And your expectation will grow in it. Amen? So, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, we talk about this a little bit when we talk about fasting, but starting in verse 5 says, and when you pray, say, when you pray. When you pray. He ain't just talking about saying thank you, Jesus, for the food at dinner, all right? When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Hallelujah. Verse 7, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard by their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. Let's all read this together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. Verse 14, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Amen. Moving a mic stand. Praise God. Hallelujah. So here's what we see. We see Jesus gives like some really, really, really clear instructions on prayer. One of the real key things that I see here that really jumps out at me, he says, when you pray, don't heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard by their many words. That's verse 7. Don't give up empty. There is no magical prayer. There's no magic words you can say that will draw you closer to God. There's no magical phrase. It's not possible. So there's certain sects of Christianity that have you just doing these rote prayers where they say, pray this, you know, so many times for whatever reason. And Jesus said, don't do that. People who don't know God do that. People who don't know they're actually talking to somebody. This makes sense. He says, listen to this. He says, pray to your Father in heaven. Can you imagine going to you got a problem with your father and not your father. I'm talking about a good father who loves you. You imagine going to your father, that you have a problem with a father who loves you and say your dad has got like a whole truck full of widgets and you really need a widget. What's the widget? Who cares? He just has one. And so instead of going to your father, you go to your friend and you say, hey friend, older brother, I need a widget from dad. What do I do? Here's what I'll do. Here's what you should do. I will write this script out for you. And go say that to dad 6 times. And he'll give you a widget. Okay. Now imagine you have a child that you love. That you were there when they were born and you were so excited. Remember that? You're just so excited when you see that kid. Maybe he didn't come in the right circumstance or she didn't come at the right timing you had necessarily wanted. And maybe, you know, you weren't sure what was going to happen. When you hold that baby, I mean, who cares, right? I mean, just wow. That this is all I'm going to do for the rest of my life is love this thing right here. This slimy thing. The rest of my life, there's my purpose, right? And can you imagine you pour into that child and you raise that child up and you feed it and then it refuses to talk to you as a person. Right? I mean, can oh, here's the magic formula to get dad to give me something. You know, it doesn't work that way. That's not relationship. That's not personal communication. That's something entirely different. And Jesus is like, look, I know the Father, and he's awesome, and he wants to talk to you. And so don't talk at him. Have a conversation, and let me teach you a little bit how to do that. Now, I see also in verse 8, we just talked about verse 7, as we look at verse 8, he says, don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. And so you might say, if he already knows, why am I praying? I mean, why am I telling him stuff he already knows? I don't get it. What's the point in that? And I got three little things here I want to talk to you about prayer. And we could talk about prayer every week for the rest of the year and then into next year. I mean, it's impossible to completely cover. I just want to talk about three things that I think will ignite some of those other things in your life. First thing, and if you got a pencil, write this down. Prayer gives an expression to our trust in God. The first thing we want to do in prayer, the first thing that we get, and one of the main reasons I think we pray, it gives an expression for our trust in God. Whatever you meditate on increases. Right? Whatever you meditate on increases. And as we go to God with our concerns and with our needs and with our desires and with what's on our heart, we're confessing to ourselves and over our own soul, I'm talking to somebody who can fix these things. I'm talking to somebody who cares about this and can fix my circumstance. And the more you pray, the more you're able to gain that trust. And in turn, the more fruitful your prayer becomes. I feel bad for people who don't have a prayer life, because when the trial comes, you're kind of out there by yourself. You're alone. You haven't built up that faith muscle. And so it's in the midst of a calamity. And people say, well, why do people become born-again Christians when their life falls apart or they're in jail? And I don't want to be like them. I tell you, you don't want it to take that. You don't want to need that. I mean, just go ahead and get right now. You know what I'm saying? But people in that position come to a place where they're like, I need to trust somebody because I got no one else to trust. And God is more than happy to step into that circumstance. And so our prayers are a declaration of faith. As Luke said in chapter 1 of Luke 37, he says, nothing will be impossible with God. Now, we can get into circumstances and we're just like, life is overwhelming me and the circumstances are overwhelming me and depression is at the door and things aren't working out like I wanted. Or conversely, your life is pretty good, but you're at a place where you want things better. And you're like, I got a son who's away from God, and I got the job could be making more money, and the business could be taking off, or I want my pastor to walk in better health. I want my church to see more people saved. And I know who can fix this. I am not without an advocate. And that's good news in this planet. In this planet, when it's like every man for himself, you're on your own. We're not alone. We're not alone. You know, we have God on our side, and we're able to communicate with a Father who loves us, which is awesome. And the more we pray, the more we reinforce that faith system in our life. We go into them, we just tell them. When you get a prayer life, you find that what's in your heart comes out in prayer. I mean, what's in your heart comes out. In this fast, some of you may have noticed that, you know, as you began to stop eating a little bit, there's some attitudes in you that came out. You got a little grumpy and you're like, whoa, where'd that come from? Why am I talking to people who love me like that? Why am I? Because things start to come out. When you get squeezed, you find out what's on the inside of you. You know, when the relationship falls apart and you run away from God, well, then you know that was in you. You know, I say just turn around, don't dwell on that, get right with God again, and just say, we're going to work this out now. But that's how you find out what's on the inside of you when you get squeezed. And you get in that prayer closet, and you begin talking to God, and I mean, your doubts maybe, your unbeliefs, your hurts, they all come out in that prayer closet. Like, wow, that's in me. And God wants to change that. God wants to fix that. God doesn't want me to live this way. And we don't even recognize the thoughts that are going through our heads sometimes until we get in that prayer closet. Or some of you, you may journal, and you're journaling in your prayer time, and you're like, wow, I didn't even know that was in me. I didn't recognize that I was dwelling on that still. And as we pray, and as we stay in prayer, and as we're in prayer, we find out our hurts and our doubts and our unbelief, but we also find the faith that's in us. We also find the hope. We find the joy. You'll find yourself rejoicing on things you didn't even know you'd be rejoicing in your prayer closet. And God begins to breathe on that, and a hope arises, and things don't look like they looked before you went in the prayer closet. It's a place of encounter. I've heard people say, Lord, don't make me an intercessor. I don't want to be an intercessor. I don't want to be an intercessor. I think that's about the highest call. I think the call to intercession is just about the highest call in the church. It's like God saying, I want you in front of me telling me what's going on in the world so I can fix it. It's like there's people in the world who want to be called apostles and prophets and, you know, super this. I think the highest call in the church body is pastor. Jesus was never called the great apostle. He was called the good shepherd, the good pastor. He's like, who's going to be closest to my people and counsel them? I think there's no higher call than that, personally. There's other calls out there that are, you know, equally great, but I don't lust for any other office, any other call. I don't, you know, I hear all kind of crazy nonsense about people, and that's all just pride. And I think those who are called to intercession, I think they're just called to a life of intimacy with Jesus. Now, unfortunately, you might see more strife than other people because God wants you praying these things more. You know? And I think in our prayer time, as we're growing and giving an expression to our faith, it's vital in your walk to have right alignment with God. Okay, we've talked about this a lot. Jesus is not your homeboy. He's just not your homeboy. Closer than a brother, yes. Homeboy, no. It's important to understand that he is the creator and we are the creation. Creator, creation. And because of his mercy, he did not cast me to hell the first time I sinned. And I'm personally thankful for that. Amen? Who's thankful they're saved and not going to hell? I am thankful. I could never repay him for that. Ever. And it's important in our prayer closet to remember who's the creator and who's the creation. Jesus said it like this in verse 9. He says, pray then like this. Our Father, this is Matthew 6, 9, for my overhead lady there. He said, pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's like, I want you to start like this. I want you to start recognizing who's God and who you are in the relation thereof. It's important. Right there from the beginning, you go into your prayer closet and you want to start telling God what to do. Lord, I need you to get this job for me, and I need you to do this, and I need you to do that. And the very thing you may have been tarrying in prayer for is the very thing God's trying to keep you from. I mean, the job isn't coming through and because God's got a different job for you. He needs you to put in a couple more applications. You hear what I'm saying? That's a word for someone. I feel the juice on that. I mean, there's, and don't even get me started on spouses. Don't pray anybody to be your spouse. Just don't do it. Just let them know, Jesus, that I'm their spouse. He's supposed to be my husband. Let them see it, Jesus. I mean, unless you're shacking up, you know, then you go ahead and pray that all you want. I'll pray with you. These types of prayers, they can almost move into witchcraft, you know, like you're imposing your will upon God, and it's just not a place to go. You just don't want to live there. Don't camp out in that place. If you've done it, we'd all done it. We all done it. I mean, we've just done it until you're like, okay, he's not answered this prayer, maybe for a reason. And so he says, maybe I should come to a recognition that he's the creator, I'm the creation, his will is perfect. Lord, nevertheless, your will be done. Nevertheless, see, we need to pray according to his will. I mean, that's the fruitful kind of prayer. If you're not praying according to God's will, that's, again, that's called witchcraft, and that's not as fruitful. 1 John, he says in verse chapter 5, he says, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Verse 15. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. If you don't, he says, listen, if you pray according to my will, it's impossible for you to fail. If you pray according to his will, it's impossible for God not to do the thing that you've asked for. Now, that's an amazing scripture right there. If you pray according to his will, it's impossible. It's impossible for your prayers to fail. That makes me want to get in the prayer closet to figure out what's his will so I can pray according to it so I can see some stuff happening in my life. Amen? I want to pray according to his will because I want to see some things change. And you say, okay, Pastor, how do I, I'm ready. What's his will? Well, if you don't know the will of God in a situation, the first thing you should do is seek the scriptures. Seek the scriptures. There's lots of free Bible studies, software online, and just begin to do a word search on that thing. Say, I'm broke. Maybe God wants me to be poor. Let me see what the Bible says about that. And you see, God ain't broke, never been broke, ain't never going to be broke. You say, well, this is not righteous. And you get those scriptures, and you print them out. You begin praying according to what he's already said. You know his will because he wrote it down. This we've already said, this word is perfect. You said, Lord, abundance, Lord. You said, exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ask. You said, Lord, that men would sow in. You said, Lord. You begin praying according to the scriptures. I hear people say, well, maybe you're just not called to be married. I'm like, well, I see in the word it says he puts a solitary in families. He puts a solitary in families. I would just, I'm your word, Lord. You said it, not me. So I know I'm praying according to your will. You gotta find out what God is speaking. If you don't know, I mean, we can hear all kind of crazy stuff. I mean, especially when you're getting squeezed. When you're getting squeezed and the whole world is coming against you, you often start hearing weird stuff. Because when you're getting squeezed, you don't know what's God, what's you, what's the devil, what's just flesh. You don't know. You can't figure that out. You know, when you're lonely, that's not the time to be, oh, let me figure out who my husband is. No. It's highly unlikely God is going to speak to you about your spouse when you're depressed and lonely. Because there's only one Savior he wants for you, and his name is Jesus. He's not going to raise up no man or no woman to be anybody's Savior on this planet. We got one Savior, one Lord, one God. Amen? One baptism. When you're just perfectly happy is when, I'm content. That's generally when he speaks. And you want to find out these things. So when you hear stuff in your ear that's and you're in the midst of it, is generally not the best time. So you want to have an active prayer life before you get into the struggle. Before we began our wanderings, God began talking to this house a lot about moving, about I'm with you, about all that. Because when we lost our lease, there's other churches locally. You lose your building and you lose a church. And this is my job. And I'm not trying to lose it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not, brother got bills to pay, And that's not the time you want to start figuring out if God's in it or not. You know, Bill Johnson says there's two kinds of storms. The one's caused by God, the one's caused by the devil. Better know which one you're in because you only have authority over one of them. And so you got to know what season you're heading into. You find out by figuring out what God is speaking in your life in the prayer closet, in your time of prayer. Amen? In your time of prayer. If you don't know God's will on something, crack that Bible open and start reading. And God will begin to speak to you through the word. He'll begin to speak to you in your prayer time.
in those couple of scriptures.
So, we're still on our first point here. We're expanding our faith. Is that all right?
You're like, my message, oh, my outlines.
All right, so here we go. All right, check it out. So you go in your prayer closet, and he says to start off with, Lord, Father in heaven, holy is your name. What you want to do is you want to go into your prayer time with praise and thanksgiving. And too often, we only go in with praise and not thanksgiving. And what we're going to see in this church in the next year is the unlocking of miracles through the understanding of thanksgiving. I have, this is me personally, this is how I do this. When I have great testimonies, I type them up and I put them, I use Evernote, which is just a program that syncs on all my devices. And when you send me testimonies, or there's testimonies of breakthrough, or I get prophetic words, I have a folder of those in Evernote, so it's always near me. And when I go to pray, especially if I'm like, if you find yourself at a kind of a low place, and you find yourself at kind of a hard place, you want to begin remembering the things that God has already done. You want to begin saying to God, Jesus, I love you, and I just, Tracy and I were doing it last night, Lord, I thank you that you healed my son, Lord. Lord, we just give you glory that you brought us this breakthrough in this area, and Lord, that you brought this breakthrough in the finances, and when we were at that place in our life, you came through. You want to start your prayer time with recognizing who God is. Just, you know what I'm saying? It creates an atmosphere of faith. If you come into the prayer time, I'm about to die. You don't love me. How come you're not giving me breakthrough? Why have you abandoned me? Why are things so rough? It's kind of hard to move into faith from that point. It's hard to go anywhere good from there. But you come in declaring the God of the breakthrough from the beginning. You start your prayer time with, nothing is impossible with you, God. No, I remember how you did miracles where there was no way in the natural, but you came through. I'm reminding myself how you brought me that situation. How I thought that I was going to die, and then you did that miracle. And I thought that I was going to lose my job, but you saved it for me. And I thought that my car was gone, and I prayed, and all of a sudden my car started working. And I just remember that my life was going crazy, and you saved me, Jesus. That you brought me out of the miry. You lifted me up, and you turned me. That you gave me a new start, Jesus. And I remember that day that you breathed your Holy Ghost upon me. And I got filled with your spirit. I remember when you talked to me about my future. You see, faith is rising in the room right now because I'm just sharing testimonies of breakthrough in my life. It creates an atmosphere, a fertile atmosphere for prayer. You want to cast your prayer as good seed and good ground. You want to fertilize the ground a little bit with faith. You just want to fertilize it a little bit with faith. I remember who you are and what you did, Jesus. I remember you don't just want to, thank you, Jesus, you're good. Oh, thank you, Jesus, you're holy. Oh, you're magnificent, God. Oh, you're just wonderful. I mean, that's good, but that's probably stuff you said a million times. Start off with some new praise words. Like your normal, say, this next month, I'm not going to use any Christianese in my prayer. No Christianese, no, wonderful in all your ways, Lord. You don't say that to anybody else. Tracy, your cooking is great in all its ways. What? What does that mean? Do you like the pasta? I don't understand what that means. We don't talk to people like that. Why do we talk to God like that? It's just churchianity, you know? We're just making up stuff. Just start telling God good things like, God, you amaze me how you do wonderful things. It's I wish I could be more like you in forgiving, because you're just so forgiving, and I wish I could be patient like you've been patient with me. I mean, that's some praise right there. You're so generous, God. You've given me so much, and I've never given anything to you. I mean, I gave you sin, and you gave me life. You're just so much more generous than I am. You're just so more generous than anybody I know. This is praise. This is real praise. I'm not just saying words. I'm actually giving praise from my heart. I'm adding a little intellect to my faith, and I'm just making. Were you there? So, At the beginning, you want to pepper it. You want to fertilize the ground. You want to come into pray. You want to come into your prayer life with it nice and in a good head start to do something useful. Amen. Amen. Because we want to give an expression, and we want an increase in our faith. And if we just have a complaint session, faith doesn't rise. We leave the prayer session more convinced that God is not coming through on our behalf. Have you ever prayed like that? You are more discouraged after the prayer than before the prayer. Come on. Who will be honest with me right now? You prayed and all you did was complain to God about how he didn't come through. And when you're done, you're like, I don't know why I just did that. I don't even want to pray on this because this is going to remind me that God ain't coming through. That is not an increase in faith. You're doing it wrong. Amen? Doing it wrong. Number two. We'll get out about four. No, this is short. I'm almost done. Number two, why we pray? We pray because we love him and to have fellowship with him. What's that mean? You just get to kick it with God. And that's cool. That's really, really cool. Because in the old covenant, they couldn't do that. Before Jesus, you just didn't get to do that. You know, you go into the Holy of Holies, and if you had sin, you die. That's not an encouragement to go in, you know? Can you imagine if you're the priest and, like, you're having your, could be your last supper with your family? You're like, all right, honey, I'm going to work tomorrow. You know, tomorrow's like, oh, I know what tomorrow is. We love you, baby. It's been a great ride because you don't know. They're going to go see God, and they may die. And that's not encouraging. But because of the sacrifice of Jesus on that cross, our sin has been taken care of, and we can enter with boldness into the presence. We get to enter with boldness. We get to enter. I mean, God, the creator of everything, he owns the earth and everything on it. And at any time we want, we get to just go hang out with him. That's amazing, first of all. And the fact that people couldn't do that before Jesus, but yet we do, is amazing. And the more we do that, the more we grow in fellowship with him. The more we get to hang out with him, the more we get to learn from him, the more we get to just be around him. If you hang out with bad people, and, you know, they say, well, if you hang out with bad people, you know, you corrupt morals. And when you hang out with good people, you tend to act more right. When you hang out with you get a job and you hang out with all the slackers, you start learning what the minimal amount of work is to get by. And so you get to be in the pool of unpromotable. But you get a new job and you find out who's doing the best. Who's the hardest worker? Who has the most favor with the boss? Let me hang out and learn from them. Let me just hang out with them. Then all of a sudden, you just become a better worker. You get more favor on your job. God is favor. He oozes favor. His words are favor. And we want favor. And the more we hang out with God, the more we get to know him, and the more we get to grow in love with him. I mean, just the love of God just comes out and begins to invade our life to a greater extent. And there's many ways that you get to do this type of prayer. And there's so many kinds of prayer. It's not just you on your knees in a corner praying for a long time. There's infinite. There's people in here that your prayer life consists almost exclusively in your car. And that's your prayer closet. They say, go into your prayer closet. You don't actually have to go where your clothes are hanging. You know, you don't have to go into the actual closet. Your prayer closet can be anywhere. And I told this story, but when I got saved, that summer, I spent like a month and a half at my friend's who was out of town, and I prayed on this little rug, and that little rug was my prayer closet. And every time I look at that rug, it was like the Holy Ghost was calling me into the secret place. And the more you spend time in prayer just wanting to fellowship with God, you know God likes that? You know he sent his son to die so you could do that? He didn't send his son to die so you wouldn't go to hell. I mean, that's a great benefit. And if that's all he did, he'd still be worthy of praise and honor and thanksgiving. Amen? If that's all he did, if that's all he ever did for you, that's enough. Just not going to hell is enough. But that isn't even why he sent his son. He sent his son so he could have relationship. The whole reason he sent his son. The firstborn of the father. He had him humiliated all over Jerusalem and had him murdered, and he never sinned, and he had that sin come upon his body, even though he never did anything wrong. Separated from the Father, so that we can be joined to the Father. He was separated from the Father, so we could be joined to the Father. He paid a great price. That was the whole point. Now, because we're joined to the Father, we don't go to hell. Because we're joined to the Father, we get the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Because we're joined to the Father, we get to operate in gifts and miracles and faith, and we get favor, and we get so much breakthrough. I mean, there's all kind of fruit, but it's not because we're not going to hell. It's because we're connected to the Father. And Jesus is like, look, when you pray, don't just say some words, because it's no longer you praying to something way off in the distance. And it's not just a hope. You're now connected to the person you're praying to. Act like it. That's what he's saying. You're connected. Act like it. And spend some time like you're connected. If you're married and you're not going out on dates with your spouse, it's you got a problem. You got to act like you love this person and you want to go do some stuff. I mean, there should be intimacy in a marriage. I do marriage counseling. And people come to me in marriage counseling and say, you know, we got a problem with the finances. The kids in the room? I say, well, how often are you intimate? I don't say intimate, though. We're not talking about that. I said, oh, but we are. Well, we hardly, you know. Hardly ever anymore. That's the problem. Money's not the problem. The problem is that you all don't communicate and you're not intimate. It manifests in fights. It manifests, but you don't have intimacy, and that's why you have problems. It's intimacy. It's spending time with God. So for you, where's your secret place? Where's the place that you just say, you know what? This isn't about fixing nothing. This isn't about solving nothing. This is just about me and you hanging out. Me and you just spending time together. I mean, some of you may be at the beach. I can't pray at the beach, too much going on. At night, the waves distract me, you know. It's wind happening. I'm just like, okay, too much stimulation. This ain't going to work. Some of you are like, I go to the beach and I see the moon and it's on the water. And Jesus is there. Like, really? Because I was there and I didn't see nothing. I don't see nothing. But for you, maybe that works. I don't know. I don't know where your prayer closet is. Some of you, your prayer closet might be just, you know, you get in your room and you turn the music on full blast and you sing like you're at a Jesus culture conference and the Spirit of God comes in and you're just, that maybe that's your secret place. I like to lay on the ground. I'm just blessed. That's all I got to say. I lay on the ground and it's like the Holy Ghost is like waiting somewhere and I just whoosh. I'm like, oh, this is nice. And we just hang out, and I don't say nothing, and I hope he does say something, you know, but we just spend time together in fellowship. Just spend time in fellowship. In you know, it's my goal in life that I walk in the presence of God. I want the tangible presence of God on me all the time. I want to walk with, you know, if it were up to me, I would spend my life with my wife. I would just, and I don't just mean for the rest of my life, because that's going to happen. I mean, like, I wish we spent more time together. I want to spend more time with my wife. I want to spend more time with my kids. I had a man giving me some career counseling, and he says, you know, what do you want to do? I mean, if you could do anything with your life, what would it be? I said, I'd cuddle with my daughter. That's what I told him. He's like, well, they don't pay you to do that. I'm like, I know. So I got to figure out something else to do. I just, you know, she was little. But I love these people, and I want to spend time with them. I want to spend time with people I love. You know, up until my son got older, I'm going to talk about you a little bit. I'll give you money later. He's too old now, but we all used to, first thing in the morning, they would wake up, and it was time to get ready for school, and they'd come cuddle in the bed, all four of us in there, and we'd pray together, and we'd all fall back asleep. And the bed is not big enough for that, but we'd all just kind of, your elbow. Mm. Don't breathe in my face right now, please. Way too early for that. But God has no bad breath. It's always fresh and minty. My son's too old for that now, but We start the day that way. We just get together and we pray and we hang out together and just we start the day in love. And that's how God wants to. I mean, I just believe the Holy Ghost just wants to just dwell with us. I think, you know, he just loves people who love God. He's excited about people who love God. God is excited about your faith in him. He's excited about the promises that he spoke over you. It's a word for someone. You will never have to lie or manipulate to get into God's will. There's too many ministers with a lying spirit. You hear their testimony and it's a lie. Just a lie. Don't lie in your testimony. God doesn't need that. He doesn't need a lie. He's got a lying spirit on him. You get pastored by somebody with a lying spirit, your whole life is chaos. Pastors with no pastor aren't submitted to anybody. Why? They don't trust God. They don't trust God. They don't trust the people that God anoints. It's God is love. And he touches our life, and we just tell people about what he did. Now, when I tell somebody about what God did in my life, it's not me convincing them to believe me. Here's what this is. I have a relationship with God. And when I tell this person about what God did, all of a sudden, there's like, I don't know how to explain this, but there's like a target on them now for the anointing. There's a target for the Holy Spirit to rest upon that. I've now given them a portion of my faith so they can believe God for what they need. You tell your testimony and you're lying about your drug use. You know, maybe you just smoked a couple times. You smoked a little, you know, a couple times, and you start telling, "Oh, I was a pothead." And blah, blah. But all they needed to hear about was the one day your car got fixed. You know, I mean, you don't know. You know, the greatest testimony in the world? It's a testimony I want for my kids. I have walked with the Lord all the days of my life. That is the greatest testimony. I don't care if you were a prostitute, a drug addict. The greatest testimony is not, you know, how wicked you were and how much you refused God most of your life. I'm thankful he was merciful upon me. And I'm thankful I have a testimony, you know, because I was stupid. I was out there. I was wicked. I was defiled. I'm not no more. Hallelujah. But, thank you, Jesus. The greatest testimony is I just walk with God. He said, "My sheep hear my voice and they obey." I just want to walk with God and hear his voice. I mean, I like to raise the dead. I like to walk on water, but I just want to walk with God. I want to tell people about him, and he'll do all the work. I shared a miracle recently. I mean, this is going long, but stay with me. I shared a miracle with me, and I prayed for this person, and I believed they were going to get healed. But I wasn't convinced, you know. And I asked them after I prayed for them, you know, "What do you feel?" And they're like, "Nothing." Awesome, you know, Merry Christmas, you know, just. And so I'm telling this to one of the pastors in my life. And I said, "You know, let me tell you about this thing that happened," because I was telling about how I'm not sick anymore. Thank you, Jesus. And he says, "Oh, you know why? You know why you reacted that way to that miracle?" And I was like, "No, why?" He says, "Because it's not about you, it's about God. And God let that attitude in you, a little bit of uncertainty, so you can know it's really got nothing to do with you. You just obeyed God, and God heals." Now, I understand the theology that he told us to go heal. I get that. But you can say every word you want. If God ain't involved, ain't nobody getting healed. It's about God. And in prayer, God wants our focus to get off of us and on to him. Because as we look at him, things get better. And the more time we spend with him, the better things get. Say, "I'm broke right now," or "I'm sick," or whatever. Wow, God is rich and healthy. Rich and healthy. You know where the gold came from in heaven? You know the streets of gold? Anybody know? You know where? He just spoke it into existence. You didn't have to build, work, create.
muster faith. Just a manifestation of who he is. Heaven is a manifestation of who God is. The peace in heaven, it's a manifestation of who he is. I want to spend time with someone who's got that. Because I want it on me. And I want to spend time with God. Amen. Holy Spirit, do it. Amen. Glory, Jesus. I could do that. We could talk about just that point for the rest of the day. Hallelujah. Let me just tell you this. If you're praying and you're not experiencing a lot of the presence of God, find some place where you can just not be distracted and just shut up. Maybe put on some soft worship music if that's what it takes for you. Whatever. Some people like to put on like worship music and lay on the ground and whatever. Me, I like to play the audio Bible and lay on the ground. And I'm weird, maybe. I don't know. I just have the word in the room. Something happens. It's enjoyable. Praise God. Expect more in your walk. Amen? Bam. Be it unto you. Number three. I have points. I'm so happy. Number three. And this will get some of y'all excited. Prayer allows us to be involved in activities that are eternally important. Say it again. Prayer allows us to be involved in activities that are eternally important. We spend our whole life doing stuff that is going to end at or before we die. I mean, it just, everything you own right now, everything you're amassing, everything you're putting together, when you die, somebody else gets it. You're spending your whole life working towards something that when you die is going to be given away. I mean, it's just not going to last forever. It is not eternal. It's temporal. And in prayer, we get to actually get involved in something that will last forever. God is never ending. Does this make sense? You can get a baseball record, or you can put out a movie that sells a gajillion dollars, and you know, when you die, they transfer the account into somebody's name and the world moves on. Just moves on. Your reputation no longer matters. You're dead. Who cares? You know, who was the cutest girl, you know, 15 years ago, let alone 100? Who cares? And people are just spending their entire life trying to be the cutest person. That's vanity. That will not last. I want to be the coolest, the cutest, the best, the whatever. Can't take it with you. And that's what that means. Someone else will get it. It don't matter. You know, I say this, that prayer does not change God, and I believe that. Prayer doesn't change God, but it does affect the way God acts. And that's amazing. Prayer does not change God, but it affects how he acts. Well, Pastor, now you're talking about you're the God. No, because I've prayed for people, and then they were healed that weren't healed before I prayed for them. Have you prayed for a loved one to get saved, to come and meet Jesus? You think the two weren't connected? I mean, prayer changes things. God moves on our behalf in our prayer. James said in chapter 4, verse 2, he says, you don't have because you don't ask. And who's he talking about giving it to you? God. What is he saying? He said, because you don't pray, you don't get the stuff you want. You want stuff that's good because it's in God's will, but you're not getting it because you're not spending time in prayer. Check this out. We got these little red boxes. I keep talking about them. I have no idea why they're not overflowing. Say, Lord, I'm committing these people to you that you would be saved. You put little pictures of your loved ones here. The intercessors pray over the people in this box. I want my family in on that. I mean, maybe I got a church full of people who your entire family and everybody you know is living imperfectly in God's will. And I just say, maybe you can pray for me. That's not my life. I'm not sent into this planet to hang out in one holy huddle, you know, with my five people who believe in Jesus. And if you don't know people who you need to take a picture of and put in this box, I say spend a little more time in the prayer closet and find out God's heart. Prayer doesn't change God, but it changes, it affects how he acts. Luke chapter 11, verse 9, he says, I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you.
For everyone who asks receives. Say everyone.
Everyone.
Are you an everyone?
Yes.
What? Come on now. Verse 10. For who? Oh, that's whack. Somebody's getting something over there. You got the blessing, right? Who?
Everyone.
For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. That makes me want to run to my prayer closet right now. I got some stuff to talk to him about. We got some things we got to get worked out here. What you see here is, in this scripture, we need to go to God, but there's times you need to kind of change your prayer strategy. He doesn't just say, he whoever asks receives. He said, whoever asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks shall be opened. There's seeking, there's finding, there's knocking. You got to figure out, maybe I'm only seeking, I'm not asking. Maybe I'm asking, I'm not knocking. There's times that you need to change up your prayer strategy. If you've been praying the same thing every night for 10 years and you're not seeing it come to pass, maybe it's time to shift. Shift gears a little bit. And maybe you got to find someone who has the victory in the very area that you're asking for breakthrough. Right? Maybe you need to give more. Maybe you need to confess your sins. Maybe you need to ask in secret instead of telling everybody else. Maybe you need to find a prayer partner. Maybe you need to, you got to find, okay, this is not working. What do I need to change up? You've been quoting the same three scriptures over a situation for 5 years. Maybe it's time for something different. You hear what I'm saying? Because God wants to answer your prayers. He says, don't be anxious for anything, but with everything, with prayer and supplications. Come on. Don't be anxious for anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Everything. Everything. So if you're not seeing breakthrough in every area of your life, maybe you need to, you know, change. You know, there's besetting sins, you know, the sins that you deal with for, you're like, am I still dealing with this? Am I, maybe that's, you know. Some things you're like, I really thought by this point in my walk, we wouldn't be dealing with this thing still. You may need to begin to confess that to someone. There's power in confession. And you can confess it to your pastor, but it's also good to have to confess it to your peer. Just, you know, hey, just want to let you know, I'm dealing with this. Will you pray for me? Yeah, have you repented? You know, just kind of go through that stuff. An accountability partner, something. Change things up. Figure out what you got to do. Too many people dealing with poverty and they're not getting the fullness of God and they're not faithful to God in their finances. I don't know what to tell you, you know. You want God to be faithful? How about be faithful? Don't open up your life to the enemy. Oh, you know, I'm having these problems in my relationship. Stop having sex with your boyfriend. Right? You hear what I'm saying? Listen, you might need to change some strategies here. Don't work against yourself. Are you getting anything out of this? Do you get anything out of this?
Hello, this is Carl Thomas, lead pastor of the Mission Del Rey in Delray Beach, Florida. If you've been blessed by this or any of our podcasts, would you consider making a donation online at themissiondelray.com? Also, if you find yourself in the South Florida area, we'd love to have you at one of our Sunday morning services. More information can be found online at themissiondelray.com.